The Pete Price Podcast.
I'm absolutely amazed that I am standing outside a house, part of a block of terraced houses that are very beautiful in Liverpool, coloured by yellow ribbons, with posters that have changed many times, with posters that have brought tears to many people's eyes. I have driven past this particular house and I've beat my horn along with millions of other people. I look over at the church. It's an early evening and the sun is setting. It's quite magical. I'm actually at Michael Shields' home. Who'd have thought that Michael Shields would ever be at his home again without serving the full sentence? It is an incredible story. Hopefully, I'm going to go in and meet Michael. All the press have left now. The book's on the way. And the poster now says, "Welcome home, Michael." We would like to say a big, big thank you to everybody from the Shields family with the baby's face when Michael was a baby. Now a young man. Now grown up. Now seeing a part of the world that he never thought he would see. Just an ordinary man going to a football match. Just a baby-faced boy who was dragged out of a bed and locked up in a foreign prison. Whatever I ask him, whatever I say to him, whatever we read in any article or the book, there will be nothing that can ever describe the anguish, the pain that he must feel. Waking up now, a week later, he must still feel, what is it all about? Am I still here? Pinch myself. So we're going to knock on the door, hopefully say hello to the Shields family. I'm very privileged to know that we're being allowed into their home. As you know, all the television companies, everybody wants to speak to Michael. We're going in now and see if we can get an interview with Michael Shields. It is incredible. It's a lovely house and it's just very welcoming. I can't imagine the amount of people that actually are going through this door day after day. I can't knock on the door because it's already open. Trust Joe Anderson to open the door for us. It's just a lovely family home with pictures everywhere. And I don't know how I'm going to react. It's going to be quite amazing. There's Dad. There's Joe. Fabulous house. Do you know, I didn't want to do the interview. I just wanted to come and see this place. And you'd be nice. I can't imagine how you feel, Mr. Shields.
Oh, I'm overjoyed, you know. Just, I've had the beam on me since Wednesday afternoon. I don't think it's going to go, you know. Just overwhelming to have him home where he belongs.
I've driven past this house so many times. I've beat my horn so many times, like all the millions of people. Did you ever really think you'd see this day? I know you've never given up hope, but in your heart of hearts?
In my heart of hearts, I never thought I'd see the pardon. I never thought I'd see Michael walking through the door a free man. I was just put it in my mind that he was going to come home next May, his release date. But when we got the phone call we've been waiting for, and we got it Wednesday morning, well, it was just fantastic for us, you know. Just overwhelming pieces, as you know, you said, the cars going past beeping. It hasn't stopped since Wednesday. It's just like a carnival, you know, people going past it. It's fantastic that the people have supported us, especially, you know, you, like yourself and all the listeners. It's been overwhelming. You can see by the vast amounts of cards and flowers we've received since Wednesday.
And of course, we talked outside your house about how Michael's changed, how he was a boy and now he's a man, and we can't imagine, whatever he tells us, whatever he writes in the book, we can't imagine what he's gone through, even if he puts it down in words. But you also, with your family, you and your wife not in good health, you not in good health, you've actually come out the other end unbelievable as well.
Yeah, it's a shining example to me and my family, what we've been through and what we've come through some really, really hard times in the last 4.5 years. And it's, you know, it's just Michael's a credit to us, you know. You know, we get our strength from Michael. You know, what he's put up in the 4.5 years. No one and no one, only Michael. And we get, you know, we get them, that positive feeling off him, that if he has his bad days, we have our bad days. If he has good days, we have good days. And we just want to put these bad days behind us now and rebuild our lives.
What I don't understand is that I keep being reduced to tears over him. I'm in Cyprus, and I'm going to tell him all about it. But I'm in Cyprus. I see him, all of you, at the football match. And I'm sobbing my heart out. And I don't know the lad. I've met him once. I mean, let's have a word. I mean, it was incredible, that, wasn't it, to go to a match again?
And it was really, really brilliant for us. He really looks after us, and I couldn't believe it, peace, you know. As soon as we got there, and the process all in, and he's absolutely, it was lovely just to see Michael with that big smile on his face, and when he walks on the grounds and his eyes were everywhere and he was listening to everyone sing, and it was lovely. The ears on our arms stood up, and we were all choked, we were, but we were trying to not cry in front of Michael, but we couldn't help but cry, but it was lovely.
But there's a magical thing, we're in your front room and he's just walked in as a normal lad would do when he's been out.
I know.
It's what you wanted.
I know. He's, you know, he's so laid back, Michael. I mean, he's just, you know, what's for tea and that, and we're like panicking, we're watching what he's doing and where are we going next and all that, but you know, he's just trying to take each day as it comes.
Well, I just spoke to Mum and Dad and the man's walked in, and I've got to tell you again, I told everybody last night, I think it was very selfish of you to come out of prison when I went to Cyprus. You could have come out the day before. It was a bit of a pain that. I'm driving down the motorway past Larnaca and I'm trying to find a radio station. Next minute Michael Shields is released. Well, I'm getting upset again now. I started to cry, so I ring Joe Anderson. Anybody will speak to me because I'm on my own. I've got all these Cypriots driving past, so I can't ask them, you know, what they can say or what can they do. You know, it was crazy. So it must be surreal.
Yeah. It's had a few days, had a drink, and everyone's still on a high. It's good, yeah.
Do you think you're gonna ever get back to normal? Do you know what normal is anymore?
Definitely. I think as soon as everyone's forgotten about it, like it's just these news. Then that's it. Then that's what I'm looking forward to the most, you're getting back to normal.
Do you honestly believe people will forget about it? It's a huge case.
Yeah, but in the past there's been big cases. Not that people have forgotten, but it's always in the back of their mind where they're not thinking about it like they have been every day for the last 4 years. So as soon as we go a bit more under the radar, then we can just start building our lives back then.
And of course, as I said to your mum and dad before you came in, they have gone through the strain along with the family as well. It's not just you.
I think that was going to be the hardest part, because for 4 years, every day they fought. So now they've got a void where what do they do now, but what do they put the energy into? So it's...
Well, they spoil you. You just had steak and chips, so they spoil you.
That was my sister, so...
What was the blackest moment?
There's
the one black moment.
No, it was just a collection of them. I mean, trials and appeals. Every time we got an appeal knockback, it was just always a kick in the teeth. I mean, we got one knockback in Varna, where I learned about it from the newspaper. So someone's come in with the newspaper saying, "Oh, you're in it." I've looked, and now all of a sudden I've lost my appeal. So,
and that's how you heard.
That's how I officially found out. I mean, the next day my lawyer came to me and said, "Oh, you've lost your appeal." I said, "No, I heard. I was in the newspaper yesterday." So nice one. But it's a succession of appeals and knockbacks, and it's just always like you're in a black like period, and then you've got to get out of it and just move on.
Is it going to be hard to write the book? Because you're going to have to deep and dig really, really deep.
We've been doing it for a while, and I think it's the best form of counselling, because you're getting everything off your chest, and you know, with Greg, he's been pulling it all out, and you're speaking about everything, you know, what happens, how you feel about certain things, and at the end, you'd always come away feeling brilliant after it, because you've got everything off your chest. It is the best thing I could have done.
What do you feel walking around town? Because, of course, people... And this was the amazing thing. The press never picked up on the fact you'd changed. Because I was gobsmacked when I met you one evening, and I was very privileged to say hello to you, and I would never have known. And I was amazed the press never picked up on the fact you'd changed so much.
Yeah, people couldn't put a face to the name for a while, so... I know I enjoyed it though, just going out, being normal, where it's going to take a while to get back to that. So I'm kind of envious when I was on my own leaves, you know, it's like I am now.
Well, you know who else did that, don't you? Lily Savage became Paul O'Grady. Yeah. When he was Lily, nobody knew who he was, and he had a great time. And he used to say, "You know that Lily Savage, he's that?" And he went, "Yeah, you know, I know what you mean." Did you have any friends in Bulgaria?
Yeah, we met a few friends, we had a few translators and a few people working on the outside who helped us a lot and who understood what we were going through, and we still keep in contact with to this day, yeah.
Now, is there stories that maybe, I don't know if it's paper talk or what, is there rumours that you will go back? I know you want to clear your name, and rightly so, but how do you feel? Or is it too early?
I think, it's still too early to talk about. I mean, we haven't really had a good sit-down with the lawyers since they've been back and we haven't spoken about it, or so it's too early to speculate about it.
He was a great solicitor you had, a really nice man.
Mr Weatherby?
Yeah.
Yeah, brilliant.
And the other...
Mr Wheat as well, two of them are fantastic. I mean, they put everything into it and they were getting nothing out of return, but there was many times where they could have walked away quite rightly and said, "Look, we're not getting away with this, we've got to, you know, we've got to chase other clients, but they never, because they always understood what was wrong with the case and what needed doing, and they took on the government and they won.
I presume now you vote Labour with Joe.
Yeah, locally. Just in the local elections, yeah.
A lot of people want to know, because are you romantically involved, or did you get lots of letters from beautiful ladies because you're an attractive lad? Or are we allowed to ask that, or is that going to be in the book?
No, there's nothing happening.
Nothing at all?
No, nothing.
You're a good catch, you know. Absolutely a good catch. Now, how did you feel when you heard you were coming back to England?
Happy, but it was happy, but when, you're on the airplane, you're sitting there, you're still thinking, the handcuffs are going to come off at the end of the plane, you're all going back to a prison, so it was happiness, but once you landed, you realised that, these prisons aren't all they're cracked up to be, So after, I think it was a few days before, my dad said, I want to go back.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, it was just,
Any bullying at all in either prison?
No, not really. Never. You see bullying in prisons, but never happened to me, no.
I know you're writing a book, and I'm going to be reading it. It's going to be a fascinating read. It'll be really interesting to get everything. But I must ask you, how did you feel that night you were dragged out of bed? Because that must be the memory that you'll never, ever forget.
Yeah, it's something that I could put away and just, I don't even want to go back. I just don't even want to think about, because... when you do think about it, it brings up a bit of bitterness and anger more than anything. You're thinking, why did they do this? Why were they allowed to get away with that? So it's something that I just put it to the back of my mind now and just say, I don't even want to think about it. Just want to move on.
Why do you think everybody's taken you to their hearts? The Bishop, Joe, Louise Ellman, and an awful lot of people right across the Northwest and other parts.
Because everyone saw how easy it happened and how easy it can happen to anyone else. I mean, it just happened, in a matter of hours. They can have you trumped up on an attempted murder charge, and there's nothing you can do about it. Just, it's so easy, and you're there proving that you were in bed at the time, but it's very easy for the police force just to prove that you wasn't, even though they're saying, you're at this place, but you're not. And there's people out there who believe that the police, so I think everyone realises it can happen very, very easy.
I nearly got sacked twice for fighting your corner because I lost it a couple of times with the number. Well, hang on, there's no smoke without fire, one of those, you're ready for that, aren't you?
Yeah, you can weigh up the options. You've got a kid from Liverpool who's saying, I'm innocent to this crime, or you've got a government and a police force in Bulgaria go, well, no, he did it. So a lot of people, first, they're going to think, I'm going to believe the government over some scouse kid. But it's only when you look on the case and you look deep into it that you realise it's not even a miscarriage of justice, it is a stitch-up.
Do you think you'll ever meet the victim again?
I don't think so, no.
Would you be frightened to go back to Bulgaria?
No, not whatsoever, no.
Explain how you felt when you walked into that match at the weekend, because your face, it nearly cracked at the corners. Yeah. I mean, the fans, everything. Nobody will ever take that from you.
No, I've always got the support to look back on, and even when we went to town Saturday night and we saw a few people, they were brilliant, so it's always something that I look back now and think, a great experience, and I can't wait for the next game to go back and do it, just to slip back into the crowd and do it again.
Does it bother you walking into town? Is it a bit nerve-wracking yet?
No, not yet, no.
How do you feel about doing telly? Because I know you did GMTV and you've done everything. You've done more telly than me, which I'm supposed to be a professional. I'm getting fed up. I can't get on telly.
Yeah, I'm taking tips off these two.
These two have never been off your mum and dad.
Yeah, when it comes to the makeup and that today, I'm sitting there with me going, no, none of that for me. They're like that. Yeah, come on, get it on.
Sorry. I'll tell you what to do. Right, when you've all settled down, get all the videos out of when they first started and the end, and you look at the difference, and they can work that camera so well.
Because today I was sitting there quite nervous going, live telly, you don't really want to be, in that situation, and these two were just like professionals, yeah. So, I don't know, it's something I don't even want to get used to. It's just, it's good for, it's a novelty now, but you kind of want to move away from it.
Somebody once said to me on the radio, it's like he's in Big Brother. It's not really, is it?
No, whatsoever, no.
Because Big Brother was only a short time. You were in for an awful long time.
Yeah.
Did you get your food parcels and presents and letters?
In Bulgaria, that's what I mean. I mean, you'd be allowed it. So when on visits and people are sending postal packages and you're allowed them in, where you come to England, you just nothing like that whatsoever. It's just so strict. And as I said, it took a while just to like settle into like the different systems, you know. It's just two totally different ways of like prison.
Any idea what you want to do for a living?
Not at the moment, no.
Just chill for a while.
Yeah, just chill for a while.
So you don't want to be a prison warden? Get your own back.
Yeah.
A bit different, broadcaster.
Maybe.
Football commentator. We'll find you a job. We'll put it out on there. We'll find you a job. Male model.
Yeah.
What do you want to say to everybody that's listening? Because really, you know, you've heard it from your mum and dad. You've heard it over and over again. Radio City Talk, the Liverpool Echo, we backed you all the way. And we will never, ever give up until you are completely exonerated. We will never leave that. But there's an awful lot of people out there that love you, don't know you. I don't know you, but I've cried with you. I've gone home, I've lay in bed, wondering what you're doing and what you're thinking about because I've spoke about you that night. Awful lot of people are thankful you're out.
Yeah, it's just, no, thank you for doing what you're doing. You know, a lot of people went out of the way to do it. Like you said, a lot of people put their careers on risk just to try and get my message across, which, I'll be honest, even if it happened to someone else and I was out, I don't know if I could put my career on the risk to help them. So it is brilliant that I can look back now and think, well, you know, like you said, the Echo and City Talk and Radio City, people in there thought, I'll put my career on the risk and I'll stick my reputation on the line and say, I'm backing as he's innocent. Quite a few of the people went, no, we're going to remain neutral and we're going to see the outcome of it. So when we got the news last Wednesday that it was a pardon, it was like, thanks to like yourselves and everyone else who's backed that who it was for. It wasn't just for me for clearing my name. It was for everyone putting the backing into me that it paid off in the end.
And in your wildest dreams, you would never have ever seen your beloved football team with those T-shirts on. No. And they were awful T-shirts. Great message, but awful T-shirt.
Yeah,
Stevie G looked dreadful in his.
No, not a fashion contest, is it? But, yeah, when you see it, it's the pride. You can't describe how like proud you are when you do see it.
It proved how your team felt about you. It proved that they're human beings like everybody else. For all their money, for all their passion, they believed in you.
A lot of people get a lot of stick in it, but there's not many teams in England who back the supporters like Liverpool. There's not many teams in the world that have like the affinity between, you know, the team and the fans like Liverpool. I mean, it, like he said, if it happens with another team, because there's so much distance between the fans and the team, no one, you know, they don't really listen to the fans, blah, blah, blah. But with Liverpool, because it's so strong and because the passion's there, they're always quick to back the supporters. So it means a lot.
Walking in, did you get mobbed?
No, we took care of brilliantly. It was, can't thank the club enough. They were fantastic. Everyone went out of the way to make us welcome.
Well, Michael, you've been lovely. I'm just going to say goodbye to your mum and dad because you've been really nice. To come into your home, it's far better than doing telly and all the studios. All these lovely flowers and the cart. How do you feel? What do you want to say? I know you've said it 1,000 times. What do you want to say to the people?
I just want to thank everyone. I mean, you know, for helping us the campaign, and also most of all helping us raise the money to bring Michael back to England, because I mean, if it's been in Bulgaria, you know, was if our government got involved the way they did in the end, you know, we had to, once we got him home, it seems to be like the government was taking more interest of, you know, what's happened and that.
Smashing. And Dad, last word.
Yeah,
I'm not interviewing you ever again, that's it. Oh, sorry, you're standing for politics, I'm doing that.
I wish you could do, Peter, I wish you could.
Against Jack Straw.
I would love to. I'd just like to thank everyone, you know, we wouldn't be sitting here now with beams in our faces for the help of the people of the city and yourself, you know, as my wife said, for raising all the money to get Michael back home. And, you know, you can see yourself, this is a happy house now. I mean, we've had so much heartache over the last 4.5 years, and as Michael said, we just, you know, our life starts now, so we're just grateful for all the support we've got.
Late Night City with Pete Price on Radio City 96.7 and City Talk 105.9.